It's nice to be here tonight. I'll take my glasses off and see who all is here. There's a wee boy came to church one time, and the minister got up, and he says, "We're going to take our hymn books." The wee boy says, "Mummy, what does he mean?" He says, "Take your hymn book, we want to sing." Later on, he says, "I'm going to take our Bibles." The wee man says, "What does he mean? What does he mean? Take your Bible, go and read." Then later on, the minister reached over and he took his watch off. And he sat it over and the wee boy says, "Mummy, what does he mean?" He says, "It doesn't mean anything." So, I don't see a clock here, so it doesn't mean anything. I'm taking the watch off and I'll see if I can see it. It's lovely to be here tonight. It's nice to be down. Brings back many memories. See one or two faces and we remember you from many long days ago. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having us. I'm going to invite myself back. Generally, you always go one place once and then you have to go back to apologize. So I want to come back to apologize. And I know James will have me back because we were over in Hong Kong, China. And we've been there. This is our third year running. And we've had some great experiences. We went to a service one morning. I'd love to come back and talk to the youth some night. Because some of the older ones, they don't listen, isn't that right? Some of the folks that we were there were taking Bibles into China. And those young people there. The youngest was, not in our time, a wee boy wheeling a pram. And he had 12 Bibles in it. And the oldest was a man of 84. And he did two trips a day. But we went to a Sunday service in the Chinese church in Hong Kong. And it started, we were in just after 10 o'clock. It started at 10:30. And we came out just after 2:30. So the watch doesn't mean anything. It's nice to be here. Let's read a few verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. One day we were in having a bite to eat. And my wife, she was sitting and she was chewing away all she was fit. Chewing away. She was doing better than me for she has more teeth than I have. And she was chewing away all she was fit, but this wouldn't chew. And she wondered what it is, so she quietly took it back out. And she had a wee look around her to see what on earth have I picked up to eat. And she looked down and the fish had no eye. So she put the eye back into the fish and everything was hunky-dory. And somebody else had the privilege of eating the eye. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places of which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke them to anger. And he set a carved image in the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them according to the whole law and to the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses." So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the kings of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. We'll end our reading there. Dear Lord, bless thy word tonight for thy glory. Amen. We hear many interesting testimonies. We read many interesting testimonies in the Bible. We read of Saul on the way to Damascus, and he stops Saul of Tarsus, and God stops this great sinner out to persecute the church, and God stops him in the side of the street there and saves him. glorious salvation. He goes out and he testifies and he preaches and he goes out on missionary tours for the Lord. We read of Mary Magdalene, a woman who had been into some forms of witchcraft, and she was possessed by seven devils. An evil woman. You would have looked at her going down the street, you'd have said, there's a woman, she'll never be saved. Wouldn't hardly even give her an invite to the mission. She's a bad woman. But she got gloriously saved, and she loved the Lord Jesus greatly. Forgiven much and loved much. And after the Lord's resurrection, wasn't it her that was outside the tomb there, waiting to meet the Savior? And the Lord said, Mary, go and tell the disciples. Remember, by the way, tell Peter as well. He's made a bit of a mess of things. Go and tell him as well. And so there's many, many. There's the other Mary that broke the bottle of precious ointment over the Savior's feet. Great love, great giving. We read of Manasseh here. Manasseh tells us there did evil. Verse 2, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Like unto the abominations of the heathen. He was an evil man. He had idols. You read on down the passage there. He dealt with witchcraft. Verse 6, he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, used enchantments, used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. Wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He's an evil man. Manasseh's sin was great. His great sin, terrible. Sin was huge. And yet with all it told us there in verse 1, Manasseh, 12 years old, began to reign. And he reigned 50 and 5 years. The previous verse, the last verse of the previous chapter, Hezekiah. Who was Hezekiah? Who was Manasseh? Manasseh was Hezekiah's son. Hezekiah was a good, godly man. What? Do you mean to tell me, Your Reverence, that a good, godly man can have a bad son? Yes. Yeah, yes. Manasseh was a very evil man. He was a son of Hezekiah, who was a godly man, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it says that Hezekiah walked in the ways of David, and he was a man after God's own heart, and he was blessed by God, and God raised Hezekiah up, and he put him into the kingdom, and he made him a great king. And then one day Hezekiah took sick. Now here's a man who could pray. Here's a man who could lead the people. Here's a man of godly man, and he's taken sick. He goes into the room and he says, Lord, will you heal me? And the Lord healed him. He was walking with the Lord, wasn't he? The Lord healed him and he says, Hezekiah, I'll give you 15 more years. 3 years later, young Manasseh's born into the home. Manasseh's born in there and he has 12 years with his godly father. From 0 through to 12-year-old. Roman Catholic Church says, give me a child until it's 7, and it'll not depart from the doctrines. Here's a boy. Here's Manasseh, growing up in a godly father, good home, well off. Can't blame poverty, can't blame the situation he was born into, can't blame difficult times. Well off, everything was really good, and he had a godly father. And those formative years, they're very, very important, you know. Those formative years for the children are very important, and so often we get very busy and we miss those years. But Manasseh grew up, I say this sadly, to break his father and mother's heart. Grew up to break his father and mother's heart. Rejected a mother's prayers. Ignored his father's advice. Thought that even at the age of 12 that he knew better than his mom and dad. Are we not living in that day and age today? Come on, waking up, folks. Waking up. Over in Strabane, things have changed a wee bit. We go out once a month and give out tea on a Saturday night outside the down the street from Kitty Daly's. If you don't know where that is, don't worry. Don't even know where Strabane is, don't worry. But a few years ago, you couldn't have done that. But we go out and give out cups of tea and chat to people. And we were out on Wednesday night. It was Halloween night. And I thought this is going to be a rough night, and it wasn't. They were there in their hundreds. We give out cups of tea and we chatted. And a little girl came along and she was talking to me. I was getting her a cup of soup, you want to see it, Asda's best. Eat your heart out. Stirred it up. And I said, here you are, dear. Where are you tonight? Oh, I'm not having a good night tonight, she says. I says, why? What's wrong? She says, me and my friends, here's my friends. We all come out for the night, she says, and I'm up to Daisy Riley's, and they wouldn't let me in. They let all them in, and they wouldn't let me in. I said, why did they not let you in? Are you not old enough? No, she says, tell you the truth, I'm just past 16. I said, you're not drunk. No, she says, sure, I can't get in to get drink. There, her friends were with her. I was at another place one other night, lifting some people. And those children there, 14 years of age, drunk, had them to be carried out and put in the bus. Yeah. That lovely wee girl the other night, I can see her so well. Beautiful wee girl. I talked to her and I gave her a little booklet. She thanked me very much. But here's a man who's been brought up with all the privileges. And here's a man who sinned greatly. And because even he had godly parents, his sin was even greater. He sinned against his mother and father. He sinned against God. He sinned against the Savior. He went into sin headlong. And he was bold in his sin. He didn't just have a wee smoke in the corner. Remember, maybe you don't remember those days when you were trying to learn to smoke. I think that's what stunted my growth. But you know, you try to hide your sin, and you never, I always said to me the other day, I never cursed in front of my mother and father. But here's a man, and he's bold in his sin, and he goes into the very temple. There's no shame in his sin. There's no shame in what he's doing. He sets up idols in the temple. He sets up an abomination. He defies God. He makes sinful laws. They worship the stars. And verse 6, I said there, he goes into witchcraft. I don't know if you have much witchcraft about here or not, but it's moving. It's getting bigger. Up around our way, there's witchcraft and fortune-telling and all kinds of things. And here's a young man moving down the broad road very, very fast. Has this man's sin been too great? Has he gone beyond salvation? You see, there's a line that has passed over. There's a time comes when God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And here's a young man, and he's defying God, and he's sinning, and he's sinning, and he's sinning, and he's going down the broad road fastly. Oh, very quick. Over God's line of mercy, is he? Will he ever be saved? Will God answer his father and mother's prayers? Will God humble him? That's what he needs. That's what he needs, and that's what's going to happen. You see, when God begins to answer a mother and father's prayers, it's a wonderful thing. And that young rebellious boy or that young rebellious girl, when God begins to answer a prayer, I tell you, he'll bring you to your knees. He'll bring you to the hospital dead. He'll bring you to a place of illness. He'll bring you a place of repentance. He'll bring you to a place of brokenness. Or else, he'll let you run on to hell. I was with a man the other day, and he's a good friend of mine, and he said to me, he says, you know, sometimes God lets you have what you want. And this man is, I'll not give you the details, but God gave him what he wanted. And you killed him. We often pray, Lord, I need that, I need this, I need that, we need something else. And you know, if we had it, it would be the first thing to destroy you. Oh, Lord, I want my freedom. I want away from man, Dan, the house, and they're coming down, they're pressurizing me, and meetings, and this out, and missions on, and I want out, and I want to enjoy myself. You watch out. And here's a man here, and he got his freedom, and he not only sinned himself, he not only sinned boldly, but he led others to sin. Verse 9, Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. He stoops to the lowest of the lowest. He's worse than the heathen, and he takes others with him. He's plenty of money, he has plenty of companions, he's plenty there to be with him. And he teaches others to sin. The rich man in hell said, I don't want to meet my brothers. Why? Because the rich man probably had the money to teach his brothers how to sin. Yeah. In verse 10, we read, and the Lord spake to Manasseh. They wouldn't hearken. The Lord spoke to him. He wouldn't listen. I wonder, is the Lord speaking to some of you and you're not listening? You're being a wee bit thrawn. You're being awkward. You're putting your mum and dad and others through a difficult time. You're rebelling against the God who loves you. And God has spoken to you once, yea, twice. Will God have mercy or will he turn away? You'll see in a moment why I say that. We live in a terrible day and age of filth. The drug dealers. The man that takes a child in to buy them their first drink. The other night, well, it was the morning, it was 3:30 in the morning. We were down the street in Strabane and we were giving out cups of tea and it was nearly time to go home. We used to shout at the children, you were late home, you've been for 12 o'clock, and now I'm older than that, and I'm not into 3:30 and 4 in the morning sometimes. But I was standing down, and the crowd round the table, they were chatting. I say this, because we don't waken up to some things. I saw two young lads coming up the street, and they had a drop of drink on them. You know, how you doing? All right, boys, how you doing? And the two of them, one had a black jumper on and one had a grey jumper on, and the street was getting emptier. They were coming up the street. I'm not going to all the details. But one of them had played, they were young lads about 16, I presume. Hard to tell the ages. And one of them had taken the other young lad to the pub to get him drunk. What for? It wasn't a girl he was with, it was a man he was with, it was a boy he was with. The young lad caught on what was happening. He was beginning to be abused by the older fella in the dark jacket. And he pushed him away and he tried to push him away. And the other boy wasn't having it. And eventually he pushed him away and ran up the street. And I was really angry. I was annoyed. And I'm not the fighting type by no means, but I stepped out. And I was waiting for the guy to follow him up, but he didn't. What was it? That could have been your son. That could have been a wee boy brought up in the church in Sunday school. And that's the day and age we're living in. We're living in times like Manasseh's time when we're doing worse than the heathen. There's things happening and it's worse than the heathen. Married woman called me over. She says, come here over here, son, that I talk to you. She must have been a quarter age when she called me son. She says, where are you from? I said, down Victoria Bridge. She says, you're a Christian. She says, I am. Are you saved? She says, I am saved. So how do you know about salvation and been saved? Oh, she says, I studied years ago in Dundee and I heard all about it. I say, what do you do? Oh, she says, I'm looking after my children and family and my husband, he's off in London and I'm out for the night. Two wee children wrapped up in bed. Sinning beyond what the heathen would do. Oh, friend, we need to be careful. The land that we're living in is clothing in sin. And our young people are facing trials and tests that we never went through before. And here's Manasseh. And he's deep in sin. Now you can read the last part of the chapter about Manasseh's son Amnon. You can read there about him. His son Amnon. Verse 21. Was 22 years old and he began to reign. What happened here? Manasseh comes to die. We'll mention Manasseh's salvation in a minute. We'll stay with his sin. But he is a boy growing up, and when Manasseh died, the reign went over to his boy Amnon. And Amnon loved his father's sin so much that Amnon didn't get to it. Amnon was killed suddenly and removed. Wonder what happened. Did Amnon see his father and sin? Did Amnon see his father with witchcraft? Did he see the excitement of the witchcraft and the fortune telling? Did he see the idolatrous worship and all the immorality of Baal and Ashtaroth that went with it and all the filth of the world? And Amnon made a choice. And let me tell you, God let him make his choice. God in his mercy takes Manasseh later on here and he humbles him and he breaks him down. And God let Amnon choose for himself. Amnon wasn't going to stop his sin. His evil life was so wicked, it was so severe that his own servants came in and slew him in his own house because of his wickedness. Manasseh got saved and went to heaven. And Amnon, the son, refused God's salvation and went to hell. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is, it's up to the individual's response what you do with the Lord. You can't blame mum and dad. You can't blame the minister. He's blamed for enough things without you blaming him for anything else. You and I hold the responsibility of being saved. Being saved. We had the privilege of being in a wee church in China some time ago. We were sitting in this little back room. It's a hidden church. Back room of a hotel. Don't ask me where it was. I don't know. And a lady came over and she sat beside me and she says, I speak a little English. I translate to you. So the pastor got up to speak and he says, oh, visitors, where are you from? Ireland. We're from Ireland. And the man behind him, went, and the lady says, he's from round the corner, just up the street. Some other people they were visiting and so forth. So the preacher got up and he preached this message. And a little after he had preached the message, there was one or two others speaking. And this guy got up and he caused great confusion. He started to shout. And I said, oh no, look what we've done. More trouble. And he started to shout. And the lady turned to me and she says, he wants to be saved. He wants Jesus. And the pastor stopped the meeting. He says, hold on, folks. Come up, sir. He brought him up onto the little pulpit, where a little platform where he was. And as he came up, two other ladies from the back, they came up. And they said, excuse me, can we trust Jesus as our Savior? And he brought them up to the pulpit and he began to talk to them. And the man, this was his first time in a Christian church service. And he wanted Jesus as his Savior. And it would cost him to be saved. He couldn't walk out down the street with his Bible in his hand and smile and say, God bless you. He couldn't go into the cafe and bow his head and say grace for his food. It would cost him to be saved. Those three publicly prayed and asked Jesus to be their Savior that morning. And here is us at home, and we've heard the gospel preached. We've heard the gospel preached time and time again, and we're tired of it. And we're growing up with godly mothers and fathers and parents and Sunday school teachers, and we're going to rebel. And let me tell you, you can choose to go to hell. You can choose to go to hell. Don't come down my throat about election. I believe it. But I believe you can choose to go to hell. Manasseh, there he was in his palace and everything was going well and he was sinning worse than the heathen. He was into witchcraft, he was into all the filth of the day. And then God spoke to him and he wouldn't hearken, he wouldn't listen. God spoke to the people and they wouldn't listen. And God says, I'll teach this boy a lesson. And he sent in the Assyrian army. And old Manasseh saw them coming and he thought, I'll get away from here. And he headed out through the garden. But he must have taken the wrong turn because he got caught up in a few brambles and bushes and stuff. And they got a hold of him. And they chained him. And they probably gave him a right beating too. And they put him in prison. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. How can you see him? He's lying in a beautiful big palace. He's his luxury. He's just getting fed up for the slaughter like a bull calf. His bed is luxury. His house is luxury. He has wealth. He has money. He has drink. He has food. He has all the sin that he thinks he can enjoy. And suddenly the Assyrians come and he runs and he's caught and he's put in prison. And he goes into a prison and it wasn't just the same as McGabry, by the way. It would have been dirty. It would have been damp. It would have been filthy. Would he have a bed to lie on? I don't think it. If you go to some of the Chinese prisons, they just try to clean the filth off the floor to get a little corner to sit in. And there's where he slept at night in his own filth. And God begins to humble him and bring him down. and he begins to humble himself. And he stops his rebellion and he realizes, I am such a fool. And he besought the Lord. What's he doing? He's praying. And as he begins to pray, he says, Lord, I'm sorry. It takes a man or woman with guts or a boy or girl to say, I'm sorry. It's hard to say. I'm sorry, Lord. Can you see him steeped in sin? And can you see life changing so quickly, but just in a moment? And he's lying in a prison cell, in filth and dirt. He doesn't have the nice duvet to pull over him. He doesn't have the nice kingly gowns he wore. They're gone. He doesn't have any servants to bring him food because he's hungry. He's getting some of the slaps that they threw into the prisons. And he turns and he says, Lord, I'm sorry. Man, there's the first step to salvation. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, the love of sinning is beginning to die. He's beginning to see that sin is not paying the wages he thought it would pay. No. Not paying the wages he thought it would pay. You say, how do you manage to go out into Strabane and give out tea after all the troubles? Because the people in Strabane, I believe, are beginning to see that sin that they have committed is not paying. One man the other night, he says, well, I'm going to have a wee bit of an experiment, he says. He said, I'm going to ask everybody I talked to coming up the street, did you enjoy tonight? And after it was all away, oh, he might have met 50, 100 people. He said, not one of them said they enjoyed tonight. The old devil says, don't worry about tonight. Next week will be better. And here I see Manasseh, a broken man. His passion and his desire for sin. The murder, the lie. He did murder. It tells us in history that the reckon Manasseh was the man that put Isaiah between two pieces of board and sawed him in sunder. Cut him up. That's an evil man he was. And here God takes him and he humbles himself. A man that we would say was impossible to be saved, and God is dealing with him. And God is moving in his heart and in his life. He's lying on the floor there and he acknowledges, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry. He bows his knees as best he can. You can nearly see him crawling up onto his hands and knees in the filth to pray. A long time since he prayed. He used to pray with his mommy at the side of the bed. Mommy would say, come on now, Manasseh, jump out of bed, sonny, get down beside us, and we'll pray together. Here he is now, an older man, and he's been king for a long time, and he's steeped in sin, he's pickled in sin, he's in the prison cell, and he's lying in his filth, and he says, Lord, I'm sorry. And he curls up onto his knees, and he puts his head down, and he begins to pray. He begins to acknowledge that there's a God in heaven. He begins to acknowledge he's a sinner. And he begins to ask the Lord to forgive him. He besought the Lord, his God. I wonder, is God going to be merciful to you and bring you to a place of humility? Or is he going to be like Ammon and just say, run on, the boy. Run on. God can do that. God in his mercy took this man, Manasseh, and broke him. Now, I don't understand. But he set free out of prison afterwards. You see, the God that saves, the God that saves can keep. The God that saves can do miracles. And here's a man, and he gets saved in the jailhouse. And he says he knew that the Lord, he was God. Why? Because some days later, I don't know what happened, but they come down and they say, excuse me, Manasseh, but you're going home. I'm sure he felt like kicking up his heels. He did. And what did he do when he went home? Did he say, let's have a party, boys, get out a taste of Johnny Walker and we'll celebrate, we'll have a night? He did not. Because he was a new creation inside. You see, when God really saves a person, he changes them. He changes them. He changes them from the inside out. I can't understand how people can say, I'm a saved drunkard. I love my drink, and I'll drink all weekend, and I'll drink it all more I can get, but you know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I can't see how that works. Because when a man or woman or a boy or girl gets saved, there's a change. When they call on the Lord, there's a freedom, there's a joy. This man could have had a party when he went home. This man could have dealt with or worshipped the idols. It could have been an immoral night out. He didn't. He went home. Oh, what a change. The persecuted believers were delighted to hear Manasseh gets saved. There's freedom. There's a new life. He's got a new life. You read of it. He goes home and he starts to pull down the idols. He starts to change the house of God. He starts to change his own house. And he goes along till his little boy, Ammon. And he said, Sonny, you've got a new daddy. Old daddy went to prison. Daddy was an idolater. Daddy was an evil man. Your daddy, you know, Sonny, he dealt with witchcraft. He dealt with wizards. He dealt with all evil spirits. But you know, your daddy's a changed man. Your daddy's saved now. Inside your daddy, Manasseh's heart is changed. I am now a Christian. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells within me. Sonny, will you not trust my Savior? And Ammon said, no. No, daddy. And I can see him coming another day, and he's, well, Daddy, where were you today? I was down at the church service. We've cleaned up the temple. We threw out the idols. We're having a great time. We're having praise services. We're having missionary meetings. We're having a wonderful time. Sonny, will you not come down to church? No. No, Daddy. No. Sonny, you're breaking my heart. I don't care, Dad. I'm getting older now. I'll do as I like. Then we read, Manasseh died. Went home to glory. Ammon says, this is what I wanted. I wanted the throne. I wanted the money. I wanted the income. I wanted the power. I wanted the position. I wanted the women. I wanted the immorality. I wanted the high life. That life that my dad gave up, I'm going to show these people how to sin. And he went down the broad road that leads to destruction. 2 years is all it lasted. He was so evil, his own servants killed him. You have a choice tonight. You can choose salvation, or you can choose to reject salvation. You have a choice. Now the mission's only started. There was a mission just recently, I was told of it last night. There's a man came to the mission on the first night, and he was talking to some of the folks after it, and he said, you know, God spoke to me in that meeting tonight. Boys, he says, God spoke to me. Couldn't believe it. And he says, you know, I'll get saved. This is a true story. It happened recently. He said, I'll get saved before the end of the mission. Oh, the folks were delighted. And night by night, he come back along to the mission. And halfway through the mission, he said, well, how's things going? He says, I'm not saved yet. Boys, I'm enjoying this mission. It's powerful altogether. But he says, I'll be saved by the end of the mission. This is God's really speaking to me, but not just yet. Came night by night and night by night. Came the last night of the meeting. And the preacher went over to him after the meeting, and he named him by his name, and he says, well, this is the last night of the mission. Will you get saved? Boys, he says, I have enjoyed this mission. He says, I have never felt like it in my life. God has been really speaking to me. And he says, I know I need to be saved, and I know I will get saved. But he says, I just can't see my way to getting saved tonight. He says, I think I would need to wait a wee while till I make sure that, you know, it's the right time to be saved. I know the minister well, and he spoke to him. That night, he says, you'd need to be saved. He says, I'll not get saved tonight. The time's not just ready yet. He went home, he went to bed, he got up the next morning. He got his breakfast in him. He was only a young man in his early 50s. And he headed across the yard to start to work. But he didn't make it to the far side of the yard. He was dead. Choose you this day. Choose tonight. Choose tonight. Manasseh got saved, but just for the mercy of God. God allowed the circumstances to humble him and pull him down. And Ammon says, no, I not get saved. I feel sad when I think Daddy in heaven. And the wee boy in hell. I don't know if you understand that. Daddy in heaven. The wee boy in hell. The wee boy nursed. The wee boy loved. The wee boy that mummy said, come on, son, get down and pray with us. What the hell? Then that happens in our churches today. I have a man and woman come to church. James knows them. The wee boy Aaron went home from church one Sunday and says, Mummy, tell me about heaven. That mother says, come on, son, jump up under my knee and I'll tell you about heaven. What do you want to know? Talking in Sunday school this morning about heaven, Mummy, tell me about heaven. And the mummy sat and told the wee boy all she could think about heaven. 2 weeks later, Daddy carried the white coffin through the door. We are in heaven. Ammon